thank you for worshiping with us this morning. Thank you to the praise team and musicians for leading us, standing with me in honor with the word of the Lord, reading of the word of the Lord. And we stand in honor and reverence, respect for God's word. And so hope you have your Bibles with you this morning. Turning with me to Matthew chapter 26. And going to read a couple portions of scripture there. All right, the word of the Lord says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. New Living Translation says, keep watch and pray so that you will not give in to temptation, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. The CEV version says, stay awake and pray. You want to do what is right, but you are weak. And then Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 16, chapter 16, verse 13, he says, watch ye. Somebody say, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men, be strong. That means to be on guard, stand firm in the faith, be courageous, be strong. And turn to your neighbor and tell him, watch. Tell your other neighbor, tell him, watch and see. And I want to talk to you this morning on this thought, just simply on that word, watch. Watch. Let's lift our voices to the Lord this morning. Come on, let's lift our voices together. We can do better than that. Lift your voices. Come on, RT. Just talk to Jesus this morning. Hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Let the words of our mouth, God, the meditation of our heart be pleasing and acceptable unto you, O God. This is your house, a house of worship, a house of prayer, God. Help us today, this morning, God, to be hearers, God. But more than hearers, help us to be doers of your word, O God. We want to hear, well done, that good and faithful servant, O God. We love you. We give you praise. We give you glory. Hallelujah. Amen. So you can be seated in the presence of the Lord. When Jesus is speaking, he tells his disciples, he says, watch and pray. He says, the flesh is weak. The spirit is willing. We know in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13, the word of the Lord says, watch ye. Now, think about this. When we look at that word watch, it means to keep awake. It means to be vigilant, to stay awake. It means to be watchful, to be alert, to be attentive. Notice this. It means to keep awake with purpose. Yeah. Now, I know that some, and maybe you're here tonight, or this morning rather, you've worked overnight, and or you've maybe worked the midnight hour or the swing shift or graveyard, and so you've got to stay awake when most of your friends are asleep in their bed, all warm and cozy, and especially when it's cold like it's been. And those covers maybe don't get heavy, but man, it feels good under the covers, nice and warm. And so you work, but you got to stay awake, and you do whatever it takes to stay awake. You're eating certain things. You're drinking energy drinks, and you're listening to stuff, and you're trying to stay awake. You're moving, and the Bible tells us that we've got to be on guard. We got to stand firm in the faith. It says to watch ye. And so, if you've ever had to understand when other people want to sleep, but you're the one that's awake. When somebody's in the hospital and you're there with them, they're sleeping and you're there just waiting on them. You're just there while they're getting treated. You're watching and you're making sure if they need something, you're responsive. And so, have you ever made the statement like, "Keep an eye on this," or "Watch and see," or "Watch out for," right? Stay away from boys. Stay away from troublemakers. You know, stay away from hoodlums. You know. Or how about, have you ever made the statement, watch and see? Or watch out. Or we use the word pay attention. Some folks will say, Pastor, I'm so broke right now, I can't even pay attention. But Jesus is telling his disciples then, and he's telling us today to watch. We've got to watch. He's telling us to keep awake, to stay awake. It appears as when we become more familiar with people and places and things that we tend to let our guard down. Most accidents, according to the insurance industry, happen within 2 to 5 miles of your home. In fact, one statistics would go on to say that it's 52% of the accidents happen in that route because it's a familiar setting. It's you're familiar with the environment. You're familiar with the roads. You're almost home, and perhaps on the way almost home, you maybe get a little bit careless. You become distracted. You may start returning phone calls, or hopefully nobody like this here is doing this, but you start returning text messages, and you start texting and checking your email, and you're driving, and you shouldn't be doing that. And maybe the foot pedal or your right leg gets a little bit heavier. You start pressing down on that little contraption there that speeds the car up just a little closer to get home, and you got to use the restroom, and you're trying to get home, and you don't see the yellow light, and or you're trying to you say, well, yellow is a color too. That means to speed up, and so you go fast forward, and you don't see the pedestrian or the kid on the bike, and because you become so familiar in that setting, and you don't see some of the things that are taking place. People walk into their mailbox, and you just kind of, because you're in a familiar setting, you're just kind of distracted because you've done this 100 times. You've driven down that road 1,000 times. For the last 20 years, you've kind of done what you've done, and you become distracted, but things are changing. Things happen subtle, and they happen quick, and it's not always going to be the same. And I've come to sound the alarm this morning. I've come to tell somebody, you cannot get distracted with everything that is going on around you. You can't get distracted with all the stuff taking place around you. The people in the ship, they can't get distracted about all the water that's taking place, and it's going all the tide and the rising of the storm and the rising of the waves. But you got to abide in the ship. You got to stay in the gospel ship. You got to stay the course. You can't get distracted in these last days. You can't let what's happening outside the church affect your relationship with God in the church. You can't let what's happening taking place in the world, things you can't control, you can't let that get in your mind and confuse you and stress you out and worry you and cause you to become oppressive. No, friend of mine, you got to stay in the church. You got to stay in the house of God. You got to stay under the covering of the Almighty God. You got to watch. You got to pray. If you're taking a journey on a ship, if you've ever been on a cruise, you know, you don't need to worry about all the little stuff that's happening outside the ship. You let the captain take care of that. There may be some rocking. There may be some highs and lows. It may float on this side and float on that side. But you're not walking up to the captain's steering wheel and saying, hey, what's up? No, you're trying to worry about what you're going to eat. All those on a fast, amen. Most important meal of the day is the one meal of the day. Amen. You don't worry about the disruptions, the distractions. You got to stay the course. You got to stay the course. Bible tells us in Matthew 24 and 42, watch therefore, for you know not what hour your Lord doth come. We're too close to the finish line. Some of you this morning are so close to your breakthrough that when you break through, it's going to unleash some things for your family and the prodigals and things that you've been praying about. Come on, somebody. Things begin to, when you begin to understand, when you're you're breaking through. Sometimes it feels like things are falling apart, but it's not that they're falling apart. You're breaking through. Things are actually about to fall into place. It's just things that begin to happen in the spirit realm. The cares of this world will attempt to choke out the momentum of your spiritual consecration if you let it. But oh, friend of mine, I believe I'm preaching to a church that is saying, you know what, we're going to press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. We got to watch. We got to pray on our spiritual growth and journey. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 6 and 10, notice this, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of your might. In his might. Not by might nor by power, but it's by his spirit, saith the Lord. We got to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the wiles, the tricks, the deceptions, the bait of the enemy. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You've got your human flesh spirit. You've got the evil spirit, and you've got the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. You got to make sure you're walking in the Holy Ghost, not in your flesh, not in the spirit of the enemy, but you got to walk in the Holy Ghost. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We got it's a faith walk, it's a spiritual walk. We got to walk in the Spirit. We'll be led of the Spirit. We start walking in the Spirit, we'll have the fruit of the Spirit. And when we got the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit will begin to be manifested. But we got to watch. We got to watch to make sure we're not walking around out of frustration, out of depression, out of envy and strife and bitterness, but we're walking in love. We're walking in joy. We're walking in peace. Somebody say, watch. We got to be alert and on guard. Don't get sleepy. Don't let your spiritual eyes become heavy. Don't let your guard down spiritually. Listen, nobody knows you like you. You know what it means when you say, well, maybe. You know what you're thinking in your heart and your mind. You know. And just like you're watching and you've got your eyes on Jesus, right? Colossians 3 and 2 says, keep your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Set your affections on the things above, not on the things on the earth. Hebrews tells us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. He's the author and the finisher. When we look at that word, keeping your eyes on Jesus, it means to fix your eyes, to watch, to see what God will do. Just as we are watching him and we're watching the word of God, the enemy is watching you. Yeah. Oh, yeah. The enemy of your soul is watching you. That's what the Apostle Peter was telling us in 1 Peter chapter 5, excuse me. He begins to say, to be sober, be vigilant. Don't be drunk off the things of this world. Don't be drunk off the cares of this world, but be sober, be vigilant, be aware, watch for, because your adversary, doesn't say your friend, it says your adversary, the devil. He's not your buddy, he's not your BFF, he's not your side conversation. I listen to him all week long. Then I come back into church on Sunday and kind of straighten things out. The devil is a liar. And the father of it, just in case anybody's wondering. But your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking or watching who he may devour. The tempter tempted Jesus. You think he's not going to tempt you? The tempter came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness when he was in a time of consecration. Saints of God, you think some of the things that we're facing right now in the spirit is just because you go to church? No, it's because we're about to break through some stuff. You for the first time are getting spiritually aligned. There's a revival going on in the inside, and the tempter's trying to slow you down, trying to intimidate you, trying to get you to quit, but you got to watch and you got to pray and say, get thee behind me, Satan. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Somebody shall watch. You know what the devil will use to try to tempt you, get you to fall? Whatever he got you with the last time. Like Groundhog's Day. If it was lust, he'll use lust. If it was pride, he'll use pride. He either will use it to bring you up or he'll use it to bring you down. Well, nobody recognized me. Oh, man, he get offended, get bitter. Well, hey, he'll mess with your pride. He'll either lift you up or he'll bring you down. And then you become, well, woe is me. Hey, we don't sing a woe is me. We don't wear a shirt that says woe is me. We don't wear a hat that says woe is me. We wear a shirt that says seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's who we are, a child of the Most High God. We got to serve the kingdom. We got to seek the kingdom. And we need to grow in the kingdom. Not to be spiritually dormant. We got to watch. We got to watch. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and 11, watch lest Satan should get advantage of us, for we're not ignorant of his devices. You got to watch. Oh, be careful, little eyes, what you see, little hands, what you touch, little ears, what you hear, little mouth, what you see. The heart is deceptive above all things. But we know the Bible says he's greater than our heart. We got to watch. If he knows, the enemy knows you struggle with materialism, so he'll bait you with things of this world to make you feel as if everyone else has it and you don't. Friend of mine, who are we competing with? We ought not to be competing with nobody. We're supposed to be just serving God, seeking the Lord, growing in him. We got to make sure that we're about our Father's business, that we're laboring for him and not self, that we're laboring for the applause of that of the one with nail-scarred hands, not the applause of self, that we get the affirmation of him, not the affirmation of self. Hell and devil will tease you. It'll use you. It'll abuse you. It'll cost you more than you ever imagined. But can I tell you, if you're watching and you're praying, you won't heed to the enemy's tricks. You won't heed to the enemy's lies. You won't heed to the mental torment, because you'll know that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I'm an overcomer. With God, all things are possible. Somebody shall watch. Hallelujah. Titus tells us, denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, Titus 2 and 12, righteously and godly in this present world. Amen. The devil's a defeated foe. Yes. He's not your friend.
No, he's not.
Never has been.
Right.
Never will be.
Right.
I want to tell you something that you may have already known, but I need to remind you that sin does not have control over you. Sin does not have dominion over you. When you were filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized in his name, become a new creation or new creature. Our Savior paid the price once and for all. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But then Peter said, repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins.
Amen.
And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as our Lord our God shall call. That is a promise. That is a word from God. God is not a man that he should lie. If he says something, he'll do it. Therefore, we got to watch. We got to watch and we got to pray. There's a lot of sin taking place. It's being legalized. It still pays the same. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, it's eternal life and salvation. Sin may look like it's getting a foothold and it's getting grip. And it may be getting a foothold. And it may be getting a grip, but the Bible tells us in Romans 5 and 20, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Can I get some Pentecostals that are excited, thankful for the grace of God, the amazing grace? Had it not been for the Lord, Jesus said, watch. Pray. He didn't say, let your spiritual guard down. He didn't say, fall asleep. In fact, the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 13, verses 36 and 37. He says, lest coming suddenly, he finds you sleeping. If the Lord were to come back today, what would he find us doing? And what I say unto you, I say unto all. Somebody shout, watch. Do you realize, so it's not even my notes, but I'm gonna drop an anchor right here. Do you know that when the Lord comes back, do you know that it's going to be somebody's birthday? Somebody's going to have to go out of town. Somebody will be sleeping. Somebody will be in church. Just think about that. It's like, hey, wouldn't it be awesome, Sister Liz, if the Lord came back at 11:15 on a Sunday when we're in the middle of praise and worship, you know, the organ's going and people are dancing. Wouldn't that be awesome? But could I tell you, it's going to be nighttime for some people. Some people are going to be asleep. Some people are going to be at work. Can I tell you, what's he going to find us doing when he comes back, when he ascends from heaven with a shout? Come on, somebody, watch and pray. I'm looking forward to that day. I can't wait till that day comes. Pastor, what do you mean? I'm telling you, this world's not my home. I'm here. I'm thriving. But, oh, saints of God, I'm looking forward to getting to heaven. Got to watch lest we become disengaged. The kingdom's expanding and then you become disengaged. The kingdom's growing and you're falling behind. Hear me. We got to make sure we're unified in the kingdom. Part of these 21 days of prayer and fasting is to make sure that we're unified together. Notice we took communion together. We've been having prayer together in the building and offline. We've been worshiping together, having church together, doing ministry together, reading the Bible together. It's because we're getting unified. We're getting together spiritually so that we could seek, serve, and grow the kingdom. But could I tell you, we got to make sure that we stay together, because the Bible says in Psalm 133, when you begin to read those scriptures, it says, behold how good and how pleasant it is for men to dwell together in unity. A little further later on, it says, for there the Lord commanded a blessing. You know what's powerful is when an apostolic Pentecostal church is not just praying and fasting, but there's unity in the spirit together. Well, God can do things, greater things than these shall he do when we're together in one mind and in one accord. It begins to happen. Unity is a powerful thing. The Bible tells us in Mark 3 and 24, and if a kingdom be divided against itself, that kingdom cannot stand. But we're not a divided kingdom. We're a united kingdom. The kingdom of God is not going down. The kingdom of God is going up. And we're part of the kingdom. Amen. But you know what else is powerful? Disunity. Oh, yeah. It's powerful. When people get disunified, it's powerful. It breaks things up. Breaks up marriages. Failure to communicate. Well, you weren't speaking the same language. No trust. No respect. Look at sports teams or anything in competition. You can have a bunch of superstars on a team that they're all worried about themselves. Or you can have just a group of hardworking average ball players that say, you know what, we're for the good of the team. And they go out and they set records and they win championships. Can I tell you, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. Yeah. There's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, there's one God, Father of all, who's above all, through all, and in us all. There's one Bible, there's one pastor, there's one church, there's one heaven, there's one name. We got to make sure we're not just oneness in doctrine, but we need to be oneness together in harmony and begin. Your blessing is my blessing. Your weeping is my weeping. Your rejoicing is my rejoicing. Your struggle is my struggle. Why? Because we're watching. I don't want anyone to fall behind. We're not hating on anybody but the devil, but we understand that we're in this together. Amos 3 and 3 says, can any walk together lest they agree? The Lord's going to add to the church daily. Amen. Such as should be saved. But we got to stay the course.
Yeah.
We got to be ready to worship.
Amen.
We got to be ready. We got to be ready to serve and to seek and to grow. Listen, Paul writes and tells us in 1 Corinthians 15 and 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable. On the weekend,
always.
Just on Wednesdays,
always.
Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Yeah. For as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You know, sin doesn't take a day off.
No, it doesn't.
The devil takes a day off?
Oh.
Let me ask you a question. You don't need to raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand. But at what time in our Christian walk, our relationship with the Lord, were we the most spiritually connected or closest to God? I hope 100 of you could raise your hand right now and say it right now. But would that be the truth? We ought to be striving that every day we're more closer, more in love, more focused, more on fire for God than we've ever been. That we've never been more willing and available to serve the kingdom than right now. That we've never been more desperate to seek the kingdom and seek the Lord than we are today. That we've never been more in a position personally to grow in our relationship with God. We've got to be on spiritual high alert, not distracted. If you've ever called 911, there is an expectation that the phone rings one time and somebody picks it up. There is an expectation. There's got to be an expectation that when we get into the presence of God and we begin to get in the realm of worship, that anything can happen. We've got to have an expectation, for in his presence there's fullness of joy. We've got to come into the place of worship. We've got to come into our ministries not with an attitude of inspection.
Right.
Well, I'm going to inspect, check it out, see who's doing what, who's not, who's living up, and who's breaking the rules. No, saints of God, you work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. You watch and you pray. You watch and stand fast in the faith. You be strong. You be firm. Don't be unwavering. Be securely fixed in place like the sky is blue. We know the sky's going to be there. Nobody laid awake all night last night wondering if the sun was going to shine. We know the sun was going to shine. And as far as the east is to the west, so is his mercy. Nobody woke up this morning wondering if the day would ever come. No, because we know if God allows, that day is coming. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will be glad and I will rejoice in it. Somebody shout, watch. Jesus tells us in Luke, he says, to occupy till I come. Not quit. Not give up. Not be lukewarm. He says to occupy. That means to not be indecisive. That means to be like an investor that's invested in the kingdom and say, when I don't buy low and sell high, but no, I'm in it for the long haul. I'm a long-term investor. I'm about it because the kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And I'm sold out. I may have not always been. I may have been falling behind. I may be getting back in. I'm trying to get caught up, but you're still a part of the kingdom. The church is powerful. The kingdom is powerful. Jesus tells his disciples in Matthew 16, verses 18 and 19, he says he's going to build his church. And the gates of hell would not prevail against it. And then he begins to say, I give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Keys open doors. They lock doors. That means you get access. You have permission. You've been entrusted with the keys of the kingdom. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. Some of us have got to get the keys out of our spiritual pockets and start using them. You want doors to open, and God said, I've given you the Holy Ghost. I've given you power, but you've allowed that to go dormant. You need to get renewed in the Holy Ghost. I've given you keys, but you've locked up some things because you're robbing God with some tithes and offering, and so I can't open up the windows of heaven. I've given you some keys of talent, but you're not available. Can I tell you, saints of God, some of us have got to reach into our spiritual pockets and begin to use the keys that God has given us for the kingdom for such a time as this, so some things can be loosed and some things can be bound. We have been spiritually deputized for such a time. We're supposed to leave our light on, not turn it out.
Amen.
We will have a harvest.
Amen. We will.
Watch and see. Oh yeah, there's gonna be a harvest. There will be a homecoming of prodigals. You watch. You watch and see. God's doing a work. In fact, the Lord is so amazing. He tells us that in Habakkuk 1 and 5, he says, I will work a work in your day, which you will not believe, though it be told to you. It's like he's saying, just watch and see. I'm going to do something. You just watch and see. He's so amazing that in Joel 2 and 1 says, fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. You watch and see what the Lord will do to people that are in alignment and ready and available. You watch and see. You may have to be on the sideline to see it, to believe it, but God help my unbelief. I'm in it. I'm going to be occupied in the kingdom, seeking, serving, and growing. I see in the Spirit a world mission harvest that we're going to be a part of. I see an 805 revival and harvest. Woo! You watch and see. He's already doing it. He's doing it already in some of your families. And it's being fueled by prayer and unity and faithfulness. That's how it's being fueled. It's not being fueled by talent or money. It's being fueled by prayer and unity and faith. If my people, which are called by my name, would begin to humble themselves and pray, he begins to tell us all kinds of stuff. Could I tell you, we've got to watch, we got to pray, and then we got to stand and see God do some amazing things. Notice this. I'm assuming you've been reading your Bibles. And in Exodus, the book of Exodus, it's the story of the Exodus from Egypt. And we understand that the Lord used Moses to lead those families and those individuals out of a bitter place. Being in Egypt is a typology of the world. It was a bitter place. It was a tough spot. They were abused. They were taken advantage of, laboring hard, back-breaking labor, physically challenging, mentally tormenting. It was not a happy place, but it was a familiar place. It was what they knew. We understand that the Lord used and called Moses to lead those people out. Ultimately, they would get to the promised land. We know that at minimum, there were several hundred thousand people. At maximum, we would understand by assumption, 1 to 2 million. The Lord would use Moses to lead those families. We get to Exodus chapter 12, chapter 13, chapter 14, chapter 15. It kind of goes together, but you see the plagues that take place. Some of those plagues were infestation of bugs, frogs. It was the turning of the water into blood. Different plagues that took place. But it was a man named Pharaoh, which ultimately would grant the people of God to leave Egypt. And Moses would lead them. And they would get to a place as they're getting to the Red Sea, because God did not take them through a shortcut. But he took them to the Red Sea. And coming behind them was Pharaoh and his army, or Pharaoh's armies. There was hundreds of chariots of trained, equipped soldiers following after families. And because the hand of the Lord was upon Moses, he would speak to the people, he would speak to the Lord and give direction. And things were getting kind of close. They had the waters in front of them and the enemy coming behind them. And they tell Moses, "Did you bring us out here to die because there was no graves or in Egypt?" And we get to Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. Notice what Moses says to the people. "Fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians who you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever." Let's hold that right there on the screen. Want to say something. Notice this. The enemy's closing in. You got the water in front of them. And Moses tells the people, "Hey, relax. Don't be fearful. Stand still and see," or watch. Stand still and watch. He didn't tell them, "Well, you better get your weapons and get your shovels and get your slingshots and get the chocolate." He didn't say any of that. He just said, "Stand still and watch. Watch what God's going to do. He's about to do something that had up to that point had never been done before. And it was about to be a testimony to a generation that would come, that if he brought them to it, he can take them through it." Come on, somebody. If God brought you to something, he can take you through something. Even if you don't believe it, that's the God we serve. He said, "You're not going to see them anymore forever. I come to tell somebody this morning that in this scripture setting, the Lord is saying to watch, just watch, just watch what I'm going to do. I'm going to show everybody that there's no God like my God. He's not Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He's also Jehovah Shalom, the God my peace. Jehovah Nisi, he's victorious. Come on, somebody. He's the wonderful counselor, the mighty. He's the everlasting Father. That's the God that we serve. He's the fairest of 10,000. He's the rock of ages. He is the God of God. He's the King of kings. He's my everything. He's our Jesus. So some of us, we're going to just stand and watch what God's going to do. Because he'll do it. And he begins to say in Exodus 14 and 14, the Lord shall fight for you. Woo! And you shall hold your peace. And he said, stand firm and watch God do his work. God will fight the battle for you. And the Lord even goes on to tell Moses in verse 15, he says, hey, why are they still talking to me and asking me, crying unto me? Notice this in verse 15. Wherefore criest thou unto me? Yeah. Tell the people. Go forward.
Yeah.
So I come to tell the wonderful, amazing saints of Revival Tabernacle, go forward in seeking, serving, and growing the kingdom. Come on, somebody. Yes, I know. Some of you are a day late and a dollar short. I get it. Repentance is a beautiful thing. Forgiveness is an amazing thing. I get it. Some people told you that you're not going to make it. I get it. But they're not God. Everybody's going to have a given account to themselves before the Lord. Every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess. Come on, somebody. I'm thankful he's a God of second chances, of a million chances. Brand new mercy this morning. Anybody thankful that he didn't use it up at 9 o'clock service? Come on, somebody. Some of you have been told that I don't think you're going to make it. Well, tell them, watch. Watch me get my praise on. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemy. Watch. Haters are going to hate, but watch. God's going to bless me. He's even putting a table together so you can sit there and say, watch me. My cup's not half empty, and it's not even half full. It's running over, baby. Watch. Watch. Come on, somebody. Watch. Because if God's for me, who can be against me? Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Watch and see what God will do. And the potter had the pottery in his hand, and he made it again. What he's doing for some of you right now is he's refining you. He's making you again, a better version again. We've got to let him finish what he started. He started revival at RT. And it's going to end in a harvest. I'm just telling you, watch. You watch. The harvest is plentiful. Somebody asked me, Pastor friend, I got to be careful what I say because we're online. Somebody may think I'm speaking officially for the Western District. But they asked me about a particular event. What do I think about it if someday it would come back? And I'm like, well, that'd be kind of cool. But they said, yeah. Well, how you doing with all that growth in Santa Maria? I said, man, it's just more souls. If I've got to start another church somewhere else or whatever, but God's ain't no thing but, you know, a taco. Just Watch what God will do. It's His church. It's His people. It's His blood. It's His name. It's His Holy Ghost. We're just glad to be a part of the kingdom. We're going to serve. We're going to seek. We're going to grow in the kingdom. Somebody shout, watch. So, I'm watching as some of you in the church have been awakened spiritually. It's awesome. You're starting to become involved in your Father's business. And watch what God's going to do. We had people get the Holy Ghost last week. We have several that were healed in their bodies physically, verified again this morning that they were healed. Pastor, it's been a week and I'm still healed. You watch. That's just the beginning. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Somebody lift your voice. Lift your hands unto the Lord. Watch. Who's next? Who's next? This morning, 9 o'clock service, we had several that have been watching online. To God be the glory. Come in. God's doing a work. God be the glory. You watch and see what God's going to do through you for your family, your prodigals, your loved ones, your neighbor, your mission field. Your mission field is your job. It's your neighbors. It's your schools. It's your neighborhood. It's your city. It's your family. That's your mission field. Begin to start speaking life. Say, you don't understand this yet, but I see you sitting in church with me. I see you not being addicted no more. I see you blessed and highly favored. Come on, begin to speak until you start seeing in the come on, somebody. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. Watch what the Lord will do. They begin to place things in Jesus' hand and they watch before their very eyes as He begin to multiply the bread and the fish. They begin to watch as people would just touch the hem of His garment and they would be healed. They begin to watch as he would get mud, or He would get dirt and spit and make mud and place in somebody's eye. It was unorthodox things. It was things that you wouldn't even imagine, but God is a God of the supernatural. He does great things. He breathes in the man and man becomes a living soul. He creates the world. He calls nothing. He calls those things that are not as though they are. Come on, somebody. He even goes on to tell us, I'm about worship. I'm seeking a worshiper that if you don't praise me, the rocks will praise me. Come on, somebody. You got to watch. Watch what He's doing. It's restoration time. It's revival time. And it is harvest time. Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations. You realize that when we're asleep, people are watching our services.
Thank you, Jesus.
You realize when you're at Costco and at the dry cleaner and at the office, people are watching you. Because you're a light. The shining. Thank the Lord for a testimony. Be the first to tell Him, I'm not perfect, but He is. But follow me that I'm as I follow Christ. Watch. Watch. So we lift our hands unto the Lord this morning. Begin to watch as I feel a sweet presence of the Lord in this place. I feel faith. I feel faith in here. I feel a sweet presence of God. Ah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. You watch and see what God does. You watch and see. Some of you weren't all fixed up, looking all good like you do right now. Some of you come in here before If you had lost half your mind, you had lost the rest of it, but God began to put things into proper perspectives. God's doing a work. He's doing a work. He's doing a work not just in you, but he's doing a work through you. The musicians would begin to come. You begin to lift your voices. Come on, I feel an urgency in the spirit right now. Oh, Jesus. Oh, precious Lord, precious Lord. Come on, some of you have fought through fear over the last couple of years and you made it. You're here. We're not here to pick on you. We're just hey, thank the Lord. Thank God. Some people struggle with fear. Others struggle with addiction. Others struggle with other things. Thank the Lord that we're here, that his mercy and his love is here. Praise God that you're not where you need to be. Praise God you're not who you used to be. Thank you, Jesus. As we stand this morning, can we give God some praise and some worship? Begin to love the name of the Lord. Begin to worship him. He inhabits the praise of his people. First Peter 4:7 says, and I close with this, you can come to the altar, but the end of all things is at hand.
Yeah.
Be ye therefore sober
yeah.
and watch.